Today we're following along in our theme for this past sermon series that we've had of Don't Give Up. And today we're going to depart a little bit from what's found in Hebrews and talk about Hezekiah, particularly in the idea of preparedness. Preparedness is something that, you know, is usually a good idea. I can remember back to when I was younger, and our third child was on the way. Jamie and I did quite a few things to prepare. We did not plan at the outset to find out the gender of the child in advance. We had both an older son and older daughter for that child, so we had hand-me-down clothes either way. So we were pretty well set. At one of our visits, the doctor doing the ultrasound looked and found and was very confident that our third child would be a girl. So we prepared accordingly. We cleaned out Robert's old clothes, pulled things out of the basement, looked through Grace's old clothes that we had kept, got things ready. We had prepared one of the bedrooms for the two kids to share, got bunk beds, getting everything ready and started there. Then, at the birth, Isaac came out. That left us with quite a surprise. And once we got over the surprise a bit, one of the things I did was leave Jamie and Isaac at the hospital and do a couple shopping trips to prepare again. Returned the bed sheets, returned some clothes that we had gotten, that we had received as gifts, got replacement ones, and we were set to go. Sometimes, even when you prepare, there are surprises like that that will cause you to change your plans. Sometimes you have to prepare for things because you have to be careful and take an ordered approach to things. Biblical archaeology provides a good example of this with the Kedafinon inscriptions. Those inscriptions were found in 1979, the year I was born. But a lot of the relevant discoveries with it didn't come until 94. When they first found these scrolls, these two small silver scrolls, they were rolled up tight, and they took 3 years of research just to figure out how to unroll them without damaging them. And even when they unrolled them, they could discern a few things, but couldn't see much about what was on the scrolls. It wasn't until 94, when there were advances in photography and computer imaging, that allowed the scrolls to actually be read. The first scroll, Kedafinon 1, has 18 lines on it, on a scroll that is only 3 inches tall. It has a selection of passages that alludes to passages in Deuteronomy and other places in the Old Testament. Kedafinon 2 has 12 lines on it. It's less than 2 inches long. And it has a passage from Numbers that I'm sure that anybody that's been here more than once is familiar with, because it's a priestly blessing. These two scrolls are the oldest copies that we have anywhere of Old Testament passages. They predate the Dead Sea Scrolls by several centuries. They were written in either the 7th or 6th century BCE, before the fall of Jerusalem. It's probably closer to the fall of Jerusalem than the time of Hezekiah, which wasn't too much further before that. But Hezekiah is going to be where we're going to look at for an example of persistence, but also preparedness. And for this, we're going to look in 2 Chronicles. The passage that we're going to focus on is in 2 Chronicles 32. Just prior to this passage, chapters 30 and 31 are devoted to discussing all of the religious reforms that Hezekiah put in place. So it talks about how he cleansed the temple, prepared for a Passover celebration, worked on getting the priests consecrated for it, all of the preparation steps and the work that had to go into that. But picking up here in Chronicles 32, it's dealing more with political issues because the Assyrians are approaching Jerusalem, and not for a friendly visit. Starting with chapter 1 here. After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his armies to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also wanted to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of the springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, "Why should the king of Assyria come here and find plenty of water?" Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers, constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before them in the square at the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army. For there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. And I'm going to summarize the next couple of verses. Sennacherib sends some emissaries. They come and insult the people. And they set it up in speaking in Hebrew rather than Aramaic, which was the diplomatic language at that time. So they come, they proclaim out loud, they try to scare not only the officials that they're meeting with of Hezekiah's, but also the people that are present and hearing the words. And then after all this blustering and continuing on, the army approaches. Then picking up in verse 20. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. And we pick to use the story in Chronicles. This same story is also relayed in 2 Kings 18 to 19. But there's a lot of differences. For example, in 2 Chronicles, two chapters are devoted to the religious reforms. In 2 Kings, it's a few verses. 2 Kings focuses more in on the conflict. It details that Hezekiah sent tribute to Sennacherib prior to the siege to try to stop him from coming. They have a exchange between the representatives that Hezekiah sends out to meet Sennacherib's officers and Sennacherib's officers, where Hezekiah's representatives ask the officers to speak in Aramaic rather than Hebrew, whereas in 2 Chronicles it just notes that they spoke in Hebrew. But 2 Kings does have a little, and 2 Kings also has more details on what Hezekiah actually prayed and the response that Isaiah brought to him from God. And it includes more details on the destruction of the army, indicating that there were 185,000 people that died in there. But for our theme, 2 Chronicles just better addresses it. In speaking about don't give up, the ready lesson that springs to mind is persisting in faith and relying on God, which Hezekiah demonstrates throughout here. But Chronicles also describes two things that work with that trust and faith and persistence. The first is to be prepared for problems. Hezekiah didn't wait for Sennacherib to get to the door. Once he realized that Sennacherib was on the march and coming towards Jerusalem, he began preparing Jerusalem. He diverted springs into the city to supply more fresh water for the siege and to deprive the invading army of easy access to that fresh water. Repaired existing walls around the city and built a second wall. There's archaeological evidence that during the time of Hezekiah, the city, the population of Jerusalem grew rapidly. This is likely from refugees that were coming from the northern kingdom of Assyria that was wiped out by Sennacherib in this time. He manufactured weapons and shields to equip the people that were joining the militia, and he appointed officers to organize them and took specific steps to encourage them. He was relying on God, but he was also preparing his people to fight. They wound up not needing to, but that doesn't mean that, you know, shouldn't be prepared. You know, and preparation like this involves a plan, and that's important for any activity that we pursue, but it can be definitely important in times of serious crisis. A good example is what Trinity has been doing in planning with the COVID quarantine restrictions lightening. The plan that Trinity has put in place to start bringing people back, starting with the outdoor services so that we can still easily employ social distancing and not have to worry about going through and trying to sanitize the building after a service. You know, instead it's out in the lawn, bring your own chairs. It eases that concern. There's plans and discussions in place on in transitioning back to using the building. How will that be organized and set up? And how will we handle the size limits for the number of people in the building? The other important aspect that comes out of this lesson from Hezekiah is to be intentional. Hezekiah did not just wait for things to happen. He planned out things in advance. He took steps to implement changes that were necessary for the life of Israel and Judah. You know, when he began his religious reforms, he didn't just invite Judah to celebrate the Passover. He invited Israel as well. And there were people from those from the northern tribes that had split off centuries ago that did come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover at the temple. you know, with that intentionality, it goes beyond just having good intentions. It goes beyond, you know, the common adage of a New Year's resolution of getting a gym membership. It's actually showing up to the gym and working out. It's the intentionality of creating a plan, taking steps, and actually following through on things that need to be done. So those are the two things to really take away from today's service, is to keep in mind that as we're dealing with life in general and not giving up, that we want to persist both in being intentional and planning and preparing for what we need to do to continue on with life. And please join me with today's benediction, putting your hands out to receive it. And say it with me, with the words of the Kedef Henantu inscription. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen and amen.